So hellfire was not prepared for human beings. It was prepared for Satan and his cohorts. The only reason a human being goes there is that they have chosen to follow the devil. And sometimes following the devil does not mean that you belong to a fraternity or you are in some kind of cult group. It is the things you are doing.
Life is a journey, and as in every journey, you need a roadmap. Today on Your Roadmap to Success, you will receive detailed instructions on how to navigate through life successfully. Welcome to Your Roadmap to Success with author and teacher, Neil Achampong.
All right, so please, we'll continue with our series of lessons in the book of Acts. I bypassed this text when we got there, and I was waiting for the Lord to speak to me. It was time to deliver it, and I've heard that, so now I want to deliver it. We're in Acts chapter 1, from verses 9 to verse 11, and I'll use as a subject today, this same Jesus is coming back. This same Jesus is what? I know modern day people don't want to hear that Jesus is coming back. They just want to hear what they want to hear. But I've told you, as long as you sit under my feet, I will not give you what you want. I will give you what God wants. Are you in the book of Acts? All right, chapter 1. We ended in chapter 4, but I'm going right back to this because I skipped it from the beginning. Acts chapter 1. We'll read three verses from verses 9 to verse 11. I'll read from the New International Version. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes. You all remember that Jesus was with the disciples and they asked him, when are you going to restore the kingdom? And Jesus said, it is not for you to know the times and the seasons the Father has put in his own power, but you will receive power after the Holy Spirit is what? Come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in Samaria, and on to the uttermost part of the earth. After he said that, that is where these words continue. So after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. That's a description of angels. Verse 11, men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Amen. So the scripture says, Jesus whom you have seen what? Go up. He is going to come right back. The same way. Amen. Now, let's look at how Jesus left. How did Jesus go up? All right. How did Jesus what? Go up. All right. Number one, Jesus left physically. Jesus left what? Physically. He didn't leave as a spirit. Whilst they were standing there, Jesus began to go up. So he left physically. Secondly, he left visibly. They saw him go. They saw him go. The Bible says they kept looking up into the heavens until that point where he left. So he left visibly. Thirdly, he left from the Mount of Olives. Now, the Bible says they were on the Mount of Olives when Jesus began to be lifted off the earth. So he left physically. He left visibly. He left on Mount of Olives. He left in the presence of his disciples. He left in the presence of his disciples. And if you read Luke chapter 24, verse 50 to 51, he left blessing them. The Bible says he blessed them. And as he was blessing them, he was lifted up. So Jesus left physically. So if he's going to come back the same way, it means he's coming back what? Physically. The body with which Jesus was lifted up, he's going to come the same way. He's not going to come spiritually. He will come also visibly. People will see him. When he steps his foot on Mount Olives, people will what? And the first place Jesus will step when he comes is Mount Olives. The same place he left, I'll show you in the scriptures, the same place is where Jesus will step. He left in the presence of his disciples, and the Bible says he will bring all those who have been raptured, the saints who have died and already with him, he will bring all of them. So he will come with the same disciples, all right? And he will come to bless us with heaven, with a life with him. Amen. I know that in the modern day, we don't talk about these things because sometimes there are people who think this is not true. 2 Peter chapter 3, this is not important because, you know, we have problems. We have issues. When you were born, did you come with problems? No. And on the day you get ready to go, will you go with problems? So problems should never dictate life. Some things ought to dictate how life should go. I am 2 Peter chapter 3. Let's look at the first 7 verses. I want to read up to verse 15, but by the end of the things I would share, I'll come back from verse 8 and we'll end it. 2 Peter chapter 3, look at verse 1. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. Peter is speaking to the church. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. Above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come. In the last days, what will come? What are scoffers? People who will be making fun of you. Today they make fun of Christianity. Today they make fun of you because you are a child of God. And sometimes, young people, you want to run away because you want to fit in. Remember, you don't have the same name as everybody else. Don't fit in. Be different. Are you understanding me? So he says, in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing, following their own evil desires. Verse 4, they will say, where is this coming he promised? In other words, this whole Jesus is coming thing, where is it? It's not going to happen. If it did, it would have already happened. Let's continue reading. I'll start verse 4 again. They will say, where is this coming? He promised. Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. Verse 7. By the same word, the present heavens and the earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and the destruction of the ungodly. Please notice, he said that the people who are saying that Jesus is not coming back, they've made a big mistake because the destruction of the world has taken place before. When Noah began to say it, people thought it wasn't going to come to pass until all of a sudden one day, it began to rain and everybody was wiped out. And it says, the earth on which you and I live now is not reserved for water. It is reserved for fire. It is reserved for what? So he says, don't make a mistake. The same way back then, people scoffed and people made fun. Can you see Noah? I want you to picture Noah. Noah going out telling people there's going to be rain and it will wipe everybody out. And history teaches that up to the time that Noah was speaking, there was no rain. How many people will believe him? Can you imagine people who be laughing at him and telling him, oh, Noah, what's up with you, buddy? Are you in your right senses? And he's building a big boat, the ark. And people will be saying, but the sea is not close by. What's up with this guy? He's got to be nuts. But it only takes people who have heard from the Lord to behave in spite of what the evidences are. Because when God speaks, his word will come to pass. And I want to remind this generation, every single one of you, don't be so soaked up in your bills and forget that Jesus is coming back. I said, don't be what? Don't get soaked up in your bills and forget that Jesus is coming back. And when he's back, your cars, your Lamborghinis, your jets, whatever it is you have, will not pave a way for you. What will pave a way for you is the life you have lived now. You know, some of you, I've heard some young people saying, oh, don't mind these old folks. They are oldie. When Jesus show up, there's no difference between oldie and youngie. We will face the king the same way. The first time he came as a savior. The second time he shows up, the Bible says he will show up to make war, to destroy the Antichrist and his people, and secondly, to judge all who are living. Amen. So I want you to pay attention. People said it. He's not going to come. Please don't make a mistake. He will come. Amen. And I want to focus this lesson primarily on what happens when he comes. But to do that, let me give you God's timetable as we find it in the scriptures. All right? Number one, for Jesus to come, there ought to be the rapture. Everybody say the rapture. 1 Thessalonians, the scripture teaches us that Jesus will descend from heaven. And whilst that is going to happen, the scripture says, in the twinkle of an eye, we will be caught up. Can you imagine that a particular aircraft, the pilot is a Christian, and they've been raptured? Who then pilots it? No wonder they have now begun to do autopilots, because they kind of figure out it might happen. But I don't know if autopilot can also land planes. So the first thing we will see is the rapture of the... Second thing we will see is what I call the tribulation. The tribulation is a 7-year period that will begin with the rule and the reign of the Antichrist. Now, notice what happens. There is going to be a period where the entirety of the world will gather against Jerusalem, the people of God, the Jews, and a man from Europe. The scripture is specific about it. A man from Europe will rise up within an organized community. We already know that there is EU, European Union. So there's an organized community already. And this individual will help broker peace for the Israelites. So they will think that this actually is the Messiah, because most of them think Jesus is not a Messiah. 3.5 years into the agreement, the book of Daniel chapter 11 teaches us he will begin to oppress them and to give them real trouble. When that happens, they will begin to cry out that the real Messiah must now come. Human beings, we are problematic. But the last half of those 7-year period, the Antichrist will really, he will reign real trouble and pain. And the scripture says, in those days, men will try and hide under a rock to die and ask that the rocks will break down on them, and you will not die. Your phones, you will not know where it is. TikTok will have to take a hike. Let's talk about what is important. Some of you, you wake up, TikTok, you will realize that's not even important. And the scripture says, at the end of that tribulation, the third thing that will happen is what we want to talk about today, is Jesus' second coming. And he will physically come and establish a physical kingdom. His seat will be in Jerusalem. We call the millennial what? Kingdom. So Jesus will come. And after that, number four, there will be the great white throne judgment. So today's lesson is not about rapture. It's not about tribulation. It is about Jesus' second what? Coming. And I want to take time to walk you through a few things. Remember that the verse we read in the book of Acts, he says, Jesus, the same way he left, he will what? Come on, talk to me. The same way he left, he will? He left physically. He left visibly. He left on Mount Olives. He left in the presence of the disciples, and then he left blessing them, right? So the first point I want you to know is that when Jesus returns, he will be ready for war, and the Antichrist and the false prophet will be defeated, and he will step his foot on Mount Olives. So scripture is true. Exactly where he lifted up from is exactly where he's coming back to. Tell me to the book of Zechariah chapter 14. Zechariah chapter 14. When Jesus returns, he will be ready for what? Because when the Antichrist breaks his agreement of peace with the Jews and they begin to cry out for the real Messiah, Jesus will respond and he will come. Amen. And the Bible says when he comes to a particular place. Read with me from the book of Zechariah chapter 14. And the day of the Lord is coming, Jerusalem, when your possessions will be plundered and divided up within your very walls. I will gather all the nations to Jerusalem. He will do what? He will gather all the nations to Jerusalem. Let me give you a little background so you don't confuse. This is what we call the Battle of Armageddon. All right? When the nations will gather against, not necessarily Jerusalem, but it is because of the Antichrist, because the book of Daniel teaches us that the king of the north, which is Russia, the king of the south, which is Egypt, and then he talks about the king of the east, which is Chad, and so on. They will gather to fight because at some point you realize this guy said he brought peace, but that's not what he's doing. He's rocking havoc. In fact, the scripture teaches that he will desecrate the temple and the Jews wouldn't take it. Now, are there signs in our world today that shows that these things are beginning to take place? The answer is yes. This is why your phones should not become your most important asset. Unless you turn the phone into a Bible and focus on what affects your eternity. Amen. Look at verse 2. I will gather all the nations to Jerusalem to fight against it. The city will be captured, the houses ransacked, and the women raped. Half of the city will go into exile, but the rest of the people will not be taken from the city. Then the Lord will go out and fight. Then who? So that is when Jesus shows up. All right, now let's figure out where he's showing up at. Then the Lord will go out and fight against those nations as he fights on the day of battle. On that day, his feet will stand where? On that day, where will his feet stand? So the same way you saw him go, when he comes on the day of that battle, the day of Armageddon, when they begin to fight, the scripture says he steps on Mount Olives. Now, let's look at some characteristics. Let me start verse 4 again. On that day, his feet will stand on Mount Olives, east of Jerusalem, and the Mount of Olives was split into two, literally. It's not a proverb. He's coming physically. So everything that is taking place is visible. That people will literally see the mountain, what? How is the mountain going to slip just by him just descending? It means he will descend with so much power that will cause these things to happen. Today, I am on TikTok. That day, you can't look at your phone. So when you look small, put your side on small and read your Bible. Tell the person sitting next to you, Jesus is coming soon. Well, on that day when he comes, his feet will stand on Mount Olives, east of Jerusalem. The Mount of Olives will be split into two, from east to west, forming a great valley, with half of the mountain moving north and half moving south. You will flee by my mountain valley, for it will extend to Azel. You will flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Then the Lord, my God, will come, and all the holy ones with him. Who are the holy ones? Believers who have already died and have already gone to heaven. The Bible says they will come with who? With Jesus. On that day, there will neither be the sunlight or cold. So the sun won't shine. When he shows up, the sun is in trouble. The elements will be in trouble. He says, on that day, there will be neither be sunlight nor cold. Frosty darkness. Frosty what? Now, scientists have not been able to distinguish between darkness, except the darkness and pitch darkness. But here, the Bible adds another one. Frosty darkness. Verse 7. It will be a unique day. A day known only to the Lord, with no distinction between day and night. When evening comes, there will be light. So that means there will not be 7 a.m. and 6 a.m. The day is the day. And it will be all across the globe. So there won't be anything like people, what time is it here? 12. And then maybe some people might be in Asia, they might be sleeping. No, everybody will be awake. Because the Bible says, every eye shall see him when he descends. Hear me, O kings of this earth and presidents of nations. You speak as if you own everything. Hear the word of the Lord. Soon the king is coming. And he will bow. Every eye shall see him. And the scripture says, every knee will what? Bow. You better start bowing now. Because on that day, you will have no option but to bow. But those of us who bow now, we won't have a problem bowing. But those who feel too big to bow, on that day, they will have to bow. Verse 8. On that day, living water will flow out from Jerusalem, half of its east to the Dead Sea, and half of it west to the Mediterranean Sea. In summer and in winter, the Lord will be king over the whole earth. The Lord will be what? King of kings and Lord of lords. Oh, here's the day when faith shall turn to sight and the King of glory will begin to descend because he is coming for those who are his. I pray that you will be part of it. The Lord will be king over the whole earth. And on that day, there will be one Lord. One. All the landlords must give up to the one Lord. And his name, the only name. Did you hear that? Revelation chapter 19. Look at verse 20. Because when he comes and he fights, he will capture the Antichrist, the beast, the false prophet. He will capture everything. People will begin to bow. You know, sometimes you hear some congresses and some parliaments, they talk as if they are all that. But the day is coming. The day, I feel this thing in my bones. The day is coming. When everybody, whether you like it or not, we'll be kneeling and we'll be looking into the sky and said, you are King of kings and the Lord of lords. If you permit me, president of presidents. I'm happy the Bible didn't say president of presidents. You know why? Because if you go to England, the prime minister supposedly is the president, but the king is still there. They tell you that kings are higher. And God is saying on that day, men will know I made the earth, and I am coming back for the very thing I made. Amen. Many Christians will be listening to me this morning, and they'll be saying, what about my bills? On that day when he steps foot on Mount Olives, your bills ain't going to cut it. So can we leave your bills now, today, and focus on what is important? And I saw heaven, I'm reading Revelation 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice, he judges and makes war. He has come to do two things. Number one, to make war with the Antichrist and the people. And we find in the book of what? Zechariah, that he won. And they all had to bow, because there was only one Lord and one name. Right? Verse 12. His eyes are like blazing fire. And on his head are many crowns.
He has a name written on him, and no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. Who is the Word of God? You know that, Jesus. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He dressed the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. And on his robe and on his tie, he has his name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun who cried in a loud voice to all the birds flying in the midair, come gather together. What a God. He made them so he knows how to call them. Come gather together for the great supper of God, so that you may eat the flesh of kings and generals and the mighty of the horses and their riders and the flesh of all the people, free and slave, great and small. Then I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to wage war against the rider on the horse and his army. But the beast was captured with it, the false prophet, who had performed the signs on its behalf. With these signs, he had deluded those who had received the mark of the beast and worshiped its image. Can I pause there? And worship what? I believe that the Babylonian system is already in place. An image has been set up. Tell me how many videos you see these days on Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, whichever one. And every time somebody is standing there, they're doing this, it's something about the human body. When will the King of Glory be glorified on these mediums? But the scripture says, when that day comes, God will summon birds. B-I-R-D-S. He will summon the birds, all of them, to come and eat because he will kill people. The day he came as a savior is still in place now. But the day he steps foot on Mount Olives, he comes to make war and to judge. The verses we are reading are the verses when he's making war. We will come to the judgment part. But a beast was captured with it, the false prophet who had performed, I'm reading verse 20 again, and the signs on its behalf. With these signs, he had deluded those who had received the mark of the beast and worshipped its image. The two of them were thrown alive into the fiery lake burning with sulfur. If you do a good analysis of making fires, you will know that sulfur has the ability of increasing the temperature of fires. God made them. He knows what to put in there to make it better. May the Lord help us. I said, may the Lord what? I do not come to frighten you, but I come to remind you that do not live your life as if everything is the here and now. There is the time thereafter. So the first thing that happens when Jesus comes is that he will be ready for war. And the Antichrist, the false prophets, the Bible says they will be defeated. The second thing is that when Jesus returns, there will be judgment. So he comes, he clears all those people at the Battle of Armageddon. And the second thing he does is that he's going to render judgment. The first judgment is what we call in the Bible the judgment of the sheep and the goat. Others call it the judgment of nations. And young people, I want you to rise up. All the things that you are being shown today may look nice, but only the thing that is in God's way will survive.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text radio to 301-696-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.